Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As a hobbyist woodworker, I'm always trying to get a little better each time I'm in the woodshed. I've spent the last 18 months trying to perfect hand-cut dovetail joints, and I think I'm getting pretty good at it. And over that time, I have learned a ton about different hardwoods, about grain structure, grain movement, all of these kind of things that comes to putting together small projects. And it is so nice when one of them all comes together. It's almost exactly what I was looking for. And then only to turn it around and see some odd coloration in a corner on one of the pieces that only became visible when the finish came on it. 99% of the piece seems perfect, but there's that one little spot that sticks out. I cannot unsee it. Maybe you've been through this. Perhaps you've had your family, your extended family, all together for a special day, a holiday, and you want to get a picture of everyone together. You look at the picture that was taken, and it seems perfect. Everybody's dressed nice. The lighting is wonderful. The decorations look great. And then you see one of the kids has their eyes closed, or they're looking the other way. And every time you look at that picture, that one blemish, that one flaw constantly sticks out. Did you pick out the flaw in our epistle reading this morning? This morning we read the final verses of the book of Revelation, and it is a wonderful, a beautiful depiction of what God has in store. A place where the psalmist says how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And it is here that God commanded the blessing and life forever and evermore. That sounds really great, doesn't it? In fact, as we read these verses from Revelation, it's hard not to imagine that it is the Garden of Eden recreated only in the form of a city. Trees of life, the river of the water of life, no more curse, no more night, and so much more. A picture of perfection. Only there's a flaw, a blemish. It's small. It's almost hidden away. Once you see it, it can't be unseen. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. In the midst of this masterpiece painted by John's words, he lists off most of the Ten Commandments that are broken by every person almost every day. And where are those people? They are outside the city. How God longs to live in unity with us, but how can that be when we reject so much of what our Lord gives to us? Being outside of the city is really no different than Adam and Eve being outside of the garden, the very place God intended to dwell in unity with us, gathered around the tree of life. But instead, disunity became the order of the day, and it all began with a lie. Did God really say, no, he didn't? And with that, Adam and Eve fell for the lie of Satan that he was peddling and rejected the unity with God to go their own way. And what did they get for it? They gave up the image of God that was to be like him. They gave up the ability to stand face to face with their Creator, to follow his perfect will for their lives, fully trusting in him for all of their provisions, and trusting every word of his promise. We could say that this is what true worship looks like. The two ate, and in their act of disobedience, they turn away from the face of God and immediately feared his presence because they now knew that they were falling under his wrath. It was clear that Adam and Eve thought that they could be independent from God. Unity was no longer necessary. They believed that they did not need him or his word. They fully embraced the lie, and death came with it. It started with one simple lie, and the world has been captive to that lie ever since. It is the lie that says that you can do everything on your own. It is the lie that says you need to be separate, to be independent from everyone else. The term that we throw around in our society today is intersectionality. It's a fancy way of saying that all of the ways that I describe myself makes me uniquely different than every single person on the face of the earth. And when we are so turned inward on ourselves in that way, we become our own gods. And we have separated completely from our Creator. It's the same lie Satan told Eve. You are special. You are unique. You don't need God. We have all become captive to Satan's lies. And because of it, we have been cut off, cast out of the garden, away from the tree of life. Today, we are those outside of the holy city, those held captive to the lie. We are those cut off from life, excluded from God's presence, denied the chance to worship our Lord, and as John describes, accursed. But thanks be to God that he does not abandon us to that lie, but he draws us to himself. Jesus, the bright morning star, the root and descendant of David, David's son and David's Lord, was sent by the Father in the flesh to dwell among us. In his bodies, the Son of God bore the sins of all humanity, yours, mine, Adam and Eve's, everyone in between and everyone that will ever be. He took them to the cross, dying in order to pay our price. In his death, we find forgiveness for all of our sins, even the sin of trying to exist in this disunity with the Lord. This last Thursday was Ascension Day. Jesus ascended back to the Father, but he did not leave us. Today he is present in his word, and his word is trustworthy and true. It is the word of God that calls us to faith and enlightens us with his gifts. It is his word that is a lamp of truth to our path that banishes the darkness of sin and unbelief and Satan's lie. Jesus draws us to himself with his very body, and we are united with him in one flesh. And John describes how he sustains us with the rivers of the water of life, and he sustains us with the tree of life. And by the mystical body called the church, we share those same blessings. In our baptism, we receive the waters of life in his name, and in them we become dear children of God and members of his holy family. In holy communion, we eat from the tree of life, which is the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus. In the very common earthly elements of bread and wine, we receive the Lord's blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation. By faith, in the promises of our Lord, in Jesus' actions on our behalf, we gather in the true worship of our Lord. How wonderful when the body of believers dwell in unity, for united to Jesus by faith, his baptism, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension becomes ours. And because they are ours, we are no longer outside of the city walls. And this is great news because Jesus himself says, "Surely I am coming soon." What a day that will be. Because John says, they will see his face and his name will be written on their foreheads. And at that moment, we will again possess the image of God, reigning in heaven and dwelling in perfect unity with our Lord. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Longing for that day, we pray, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We stand to confess our faith.